JC Corcoran Podcast.
Back to take a look at the news. Terrorists blow up Central America and leave a note. A Philadelphia man was arrested today while attempting to make an unauthorized deposit in a sperm bank. Silent film star Mark Dunbar died today. In Hollywood, he had no last words. However, he did make several gestures. San Diego Freeway was the scene of a freak accident today as six freaks in a camper crashed into three freaks in a van. Nobel Prize in Mathematics has been awarded to a California professor who has discovered a new number. The number is Blean, which he claims belongs between 6 and 7. Medical researchers have discovered a disease which has no symptoms. It is impossible to detect, and there is no known cure. Fortunately, it is confined to New Jersey. Archaeologists digging at a site in Iran have discovered the remains of a city which was inhabited by a race of people who had absolutely no skills or tools of any kind. No trace of anything has been found anywhere near the site. Heart transplants have declined in recent months because of a lack of donors. Many people consider it an imposition. Hollywood film star Vicky Trick and her husband, Mark Spott, have called it quits today after a 27-minute honeymoon in front of the church. On the lighter side of the news, here's a Halloween prank that really backfired. Seems that little 13-year-old Danny Omerta thought that it would be great fun to soap all the windows of the cars on his block. And he had soaped about 7 of them and was starting to soap the 8th one, not knowing that the owner of the 8th car, Carl Downing, was seated inside. Carl Downing shot Danny in the head 4 times. And in Cleveland today, 27 people suffered 12 hours of continuous whiplash when a man claiming to be the devil hijacked a roller coaster. And to kind of wind up the news tonight, we'll take a look at the news hostility scoreboard. Find out how we're treating each other around the world. According to the scoreboard, we got 4 civil wars going on right now. 2 brushfire wars, 4 vest pocket wars, 9 wars of liberation, 2 police actions, 16 revolutions, 35 rebellions, 58 border clashes, 21 terrorist bombings, 36 retaliatory raids, 400 guerrilla operations, 95 commando strikes, 612 acts of sabotage, 237 ceasefire violations, 44 surprise attacks, 6 outside aggressions, 6 internal upheavals, 3 protective reaction strikes, 10 counterinsurgencies, 21 violent disturbances, 30 warlike acts, 906 hostile incidents, 10 arms races, 18 deliberate provocations, 61 threats to security, 9 dangerous escalations, 2 military confrontations, 6 heightenings of tension, 14 heated exchanges, 12 belligerent moves, 17 reprisals, 3 powder kegs, 2 tinderboxes, and an ultimatum.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Friday, May 13th, 2022, 189 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. How you doing, kids? It's Friday. It's JC. We have big storms coming later. And again, on Sunday, COVID is making a return on the other side of the earth, which means that it's probably 4 to 6 weeks before it ends up coming back over here. And looks like it's going to be a problem again, but who cares? Because our St. Louis Blues are moving on. How about a little flashback to 2019 when we won ourselves a cup? Let's do it, Charles.
St. Louis hockey fans, stand up and shout. The Blues are on strong. We're going to knock this thing out. It's the Blues year now. Yeah, it's the Blues year now. When Tarasenko fires that snapshot, no way we're going to lose. On the ice or in the stands, we're all St. Louis Blues. Come on, St. Louis. The note be the news. Stanley Cup, we're coming for ya with the St. Louis Blues. 20,000 fans, we rock the Enterprise Center. Last horn of the season, we'll be the Stanley Cup winner. It's the Blues year now. Yeah, it's the Blues year now. Pareko, Schwartz, Petrangelo, they won't let us lose. We're all power play for the gateway. We're St. Louis.
Okay, so it needs a little updating. What are you going to do, sue me? All right, it's off to Colorado now, and they haven't given us dates or start times, but it'll be sometime early next week. Pretty convincing, though, last night at the Enterprise Center. I think you'd agree, 5-1. Jeez. And you know, in the game before that, obviously, very convincing with the hat trick and everything like that. So the Blues are peaking at a time where they sort of have to, and that is all good news. Congratulations to the boys. By the way, it is official, and it's been official for a number of years now, but obviously with the internet, I think that's the major problem. It is pointless to interview coaches and players after any sporting event because nobody says anything anymore because they're afraid that one word will be taken out of place or twisted out of proportion and posted on the locker room wall of the opposition and firing those guys up needlessly. And all the players know it. And all the coaches know it. The only group that seems to not know it is the media because they keep putting microphones in the faces of these guys. They are saying nothing anymore. Nothing. Listen to Jordan Binnington last night after the game.
It's a hard-fought series against a team that comes at you pretty hard, and we did a great job, and we had guys step up, and just a great team effort, and it's good to be at this point, and now we're looking forward to the next challenge.
You said nothing. You said absolutely nothing. And Chief was even worse. I hope to be able to grab this before the end of the podcast so I can stick it in here because it was on Fox 2 this morning. Chris Renee was doing the story, but they had Berube on, and he was even less specific about it. Well, yeah, we won the game, and now we're going to play some more games, and we're going to wear our skates and our uniforms, and there'll be pucks involved and sticks, and the boys will go at it. Well, thanks for nothing. But again, I also understand why they're doing it, because of the reasons I gave you. All right. Cardinals yesterday, don't even start me on that. You don't lose to Baltimore, and you know, too many men left on base, and it was a very winnable game last night. I don't know where the hell Tyler O'Neill thought he was going with one out, but you'll live and you'll learn. You'll live and you'll learn. All right, looks like the record-setting heat in St. Louis is over for a little while, but now the storm's coming in, and this stuff coming. I think Sunday is going to be worse than later on tonight, but anytime after about 5 o'clock today is when the trouble starts, and then again on Sunday, and like I said, I think Sunday will be a more formidable situation. Just leave it at that. Yeah, I was alluding to the idea, if you're watching these stories coming out of Europe, and especially coming out of China, they got big COVID issues. And you got to wonder what is next for us in about a month, maybe, 6 weeks. It just seems like it takes that long to make it from one side of the earth to the other. But they're doing all these lockdowns. And here in this country, Biden obviously has said, well, we're not going to do any mandates. You know why? Because he knows people won't do it anyhow. But I'm telling you this, if you still got a couple of masks laying around, I would have them handy, because I think that we might be moving towards a situation where you think to yourself, I think I'm going to err on the side of safety here. What a concept. And it's amazing how these dopes continue to slow down our normal projected societal evolution with denying the existence of any news story anymore, the legitimacy of any news story. So there are people who are actually suggesting on social media and on the internet that the resurgence of COVID is actually something that is being plotted by the Democrats to take attention away from the inflation issue, the price of gasoline, and stuff like that. So the whole world experiencing this problem, and think about the power of the Democratic Party to be able to get the entire world in on the whole COVID thing, just so it can influence our elections coming up in a couple of months. Right. And I see one more idiot post something about the fact that, you know, thanks, Biden, with regard to the price of gasoline. The price of gasoline is not determined by this president or any president. And I wonder whether the people who keep posting this stuff actually know that and just figure, oh, I'm going to keep lying here because I think if I say it enough times, people will believe it. Or if they're just too dumb to know the facts and know that the president of the United States, no president of the United States, has really anything to say about the price of gasoline. All right, the year was 1994, and Johnny Carson made the final TV appearance of his life on The Late Show with David Letterman. Jimmy Fallon was only 19 years old at the time. Johnny had always wanted Dave to replace him on The Tonight Show, obviously, but it didn't happen. But it gives me an opportunity to play this back. This is not the event we just described, The Late Show with David Letterman appearance of Johnny, where he brought out the top 10 list. This has to do with the final appearance of Johnny on his own show. Not long after that final appearance of Johnny Carson, we had Ed McMahon on the show. And I play this because Ed has been, you know, he's been dead for a couple of years. Johnny has passed away years ago. But it's just so cool to hear this music again.
Music tape.
Isn't it just cool kind of just hearing the music again, hearing the theme song again? Ed McMahon, welcome to St. Louis. How are you doing?
Oh, what a great introduction. What a package you put together there. That was terrific.
You know, Ed, you've really kind of been functioning as the unofficial press secretary for Johnny Carson, especially after the heart episode. Can you tell us, from what you know about it, what happened to Johnny? And I guess Johnny really does kind of recognize that you are the guy that kind of tells people how he's doing.
Oh, yeah, he knows that, and he appreciates that. And he talked to me on my birthday a couple weeks ago, told me a great joke. I'd love to tell you, but why put your show off the air? All right. Anyway, he, at the end of it, he said, there's your birthday present, you know, with that same attitude and style of his. But he's feeling great. He's playing tennis again. And he did have quite a scare. And again, thank heavens for his lovely wife, Alex, because a lot of guys, you know, we all think we're so macho, nothing can happen to us. You know, oh, I'll be all right. You know, she wouldn't buy that. And she insisted they go to the hospital. And it was serious. You know, what he thought was just a little pain in the chest became a quadruple bypass operation. So he got his comeuppance if she was right. Anyway, he's doing fine. He sounded great. He's on his boat. He's playing tennis, so he's very happy.
As great as that was to hear, it is a reminder that all of this that you just heard happened 28 years ago in 1994. Good grief. All right. Elon Musk has been backpedaling the last couple of days, and now the story is front and center. He says the deal to buy Twitter is officially on hold. I don't know if he's waiting for the Twitter people to throw in some Ginsu knives. Now, how much would you pay? All I know is watch this space, okay? I watch very little primetime network TV. As a matter of fact, if you would ask me right now what primetime sitcoms or stuff like that do you watch, I'm not sure I watch any. In the evening, I have various news shows on, and I'm watching sports. I'm watching stuff off the internet. I'm preparing for the show, you know, for the next day's podcast, all of that sort of stuff, which is why yesterday when the network announced that all the networks involved here, Kenan, as funny as Kenan Thompson is on Saturday Night Live, you know, it's just amazing how often these stars from SNL, Bobby Moynihan is a good example, too. You know, they leave the show, they pick up some situation comedy on another network, and the thing just lays an egg. So Kenan's show is going away. Mr. Mayor, Magnum P.I., United States of Al. I never even heard of that. Good Sam, How We Roll, Charmed, Dynasty, and Roswell, New Mexico all canceled yesterday by the network. Adele bought Sylvester Stallone's house for $58 million. And you really do have to wonder, what in the hell could be a house to cost $58 million? Obviously, the piece of real estate itself probably has a lot to do with it. But it also came with a poolside Rocky statue and a nice neighborhood, too. Denzel Washington lives there, Magic Johnson. The Seattle Seahawks had a little fun with their players last night because the 2022 schedule for the NFL was announced. So this is actually really funny. They punked their players yesterday by releasing a fake schedule. They go, all right, the new schedule came out. Here it is. Here, everybody have a sheet of paper here. And they looked at it, and it had them playing on Thanksgiving. It had them playing on Christmas. And it had them not getting the bye week after their game in Germany. And these guys start going, what the hell? And then they told them, we made it up. Now, can you help us put these lockers back up? We were talking about Rebel Wilson yesterday, who had her stomach stapled and doesn't even look like the same human being. So she's got a thing on Netflix starting today called Senior Year. Stars her as a cheerleader who wakes up from a 20-year coma and decides to return to high school at the age of 37 to finish out her senior year and try to win prom queen. Okay, we'll see. Selena Gomez hosting Saturday Night Live tomorrow night. I will tell you something about her. She is more talented than you think. She did some stuff with Amy Schumer on Amy Schumer's show. On Amy Schumer's show, that thing of Inside Amy Schumer. And she was surprisingly good. And, of course, Murders Only in the Building with Steve Martin and Martin Short. She's holding her own. This kid's got more talent than you think. Another award show. Good grief. The 2022 Billboard Music Award shows. Ed Sheeran, Red Hot Chili Peppers, all of the usual suspects. Late Night Tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Maury Povich. Who asked for more Maury Povich? Not even Connie Chung wants more Maury Povich. I like this story. Before he died, Norm MacDonald recorded a run-through of a planned stand-up special at his home, and Netflix said, we'll take it. And so that's going to premiere on Netflix next month. And Emmy Rossum, who sort of made a career of taking her shirt off, who played Fiona for all those years on Shameless on, was that HBO or Showtime? I forget. Anyhow, she's playing Angeline now. And if you're unfamiliar with her, you can look it up. But it was a gaudy, bawdy, budding superstar who, as far as I can tell, really didn't do anything except sort of stand there for the photographer and go, what do you think of these? But apparently there was a fairly decent backstory on all that thing. So that is going to be on something that you will see on your television soon. Angeline, she had to wear fake boobs for the thing, and she said it gave her blisters. Sure, a lot of guys would volunteer to rub some ointment on the on those blisters. I'm always thinking, I'm an idea guy. And speaking of Johnny Carson's last appearance on television, as we were just a moment ago, it was 18 years ago today. The year was 2004. The final episode of Frasier aired. I'll tell you a quick story on this. It was the 1988 National Hockey League All-Star Game in St. Louis at the Old Barn. And, you know, it's not, in 88, it wasn't as sophisticated and overblown as the NHL All-Star Weekend is now. I mean, now it's like a three-ring circus, and it's very, very detailed and everything like that. But back in 1988, they were still sort of going, all right, how do we do this? All right, we have a bunch of celebrities? Sure, come on in. So, like, Alan Thicke was in town and, you know, a bunch of other Canadian guys. And one of the people that came in was Kelsey Grammer. Now, he didn't play hockey, but he was there for, like, a banquet. And this was right on the heels of all of his trouble. And again, I really think hard, but I know he was drinking and he was doing drugs and his whole career just, you know, after Cheers, the whole thing just seemed to completely collapse. And I want to say he had some other trouble too. I can't remember, but it was all I know is this guy was down and he was out. It's hard to realize that right now when you're thinking about Frasier, which ran for God, how many years? But at the time, he didn't know he was going to be Frasier. I think he thought there was a good chance that his show business career was over in 1988. And I'm going to tell you, this guy just sort of stumbled around like as a shell of a human being. We were running around putting our microphones in everybody's faces, and we were broadcasting from the penalty box during the game and everything like that, and we were really, just anybody we saw, we were jamming our microphones in their faces, and we didn't even bother even trying to interview Kelsey Grammer because we thought he was done, and he was acting like he was done, and, you know, they must have had him on something. I don't know what. They must have had him on something, though, because he was oddly subdued. It was a really sad thing to see. And when he resurfaced and got his life back together, and he didn't have very good luck with women. He's been married and divorced. I stopped counting. And now, of course, he's a big-ass Republican. That, and he was claiming for a long time that nobody wanted to hire him because he was a Republican, and that's not a pleasurable thing for the people who make and create television shows and movies in Hollywood. But that's the story he went with. Birthdays this weekend, grab a chair. It's everybody. Robert Pattinson, 36. Lena Dunham from Girls, 36. Darius Rucker, Hootie and the Blowfish. There's a group of people who were as unpleasant as you could imagine. I think I told you this. I think it was 1996. So it was right in the middle of their run, their big, big run. And they were playing at some of the events leading up to the Super Bowl. And it was like a Friday, and we're broadcasting live from Phoenix from the Super Bowl. We're running around again with our microphones trying to interview people. And they made us wait for over 2 hours. And then when they came off the stage, the big, tall, blonde guy with the curly hair looked at me and said, "You aren't interviewing anybody," and just sort of stormed off. And we were like, well, aren't you a sweetheart? And that was the end of that. So they get nothing from me. Stephen Colbert, unfortunately, celebrating his 58th birthday with COVID. Dennis Rodman, 61. Supposedly what happened with him and Madonna was that they were having a night of frolic, shall we say. And this is the story that he tells. She took some sort of piece of uncooked spaghetti and stuck it in his no-go hole. And that's where he drew the line. I wonder if it was like one of those curly... Well, never mind. Stevie Wonder, 72. The man has 25 Grammys. Harvey Keitel, one of our best actors in this country, 83. Birthdays on Saturday. The Gronk, Rob Gronkowski, 33. Mark Zuckerberg, Satan, is 38. Amber Tamblyn, 39. Sofia Coppola, director of Lost in Translation, 51. Cate Blanchett, 53. Tim Roth from, oh my gosh, Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, and on it goes, 61. Tom Cochran, Life is a Highway, 69. Lead singer of the Talking Heads, David Byrne, is 70. Robert Zemeckis directed Forrest Gump, Back to the Future, Romancing the Stone, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Castaway, Polar Express, Welcome to Marwin, forget about that one, and this year's live-action Pinocchio. I went to college with him, and his sister, Carol, worked at the radio station with me, the campus radio station. He is 70 today. George Lucas, 78. On Sunday, Jamie Lynn Sigler, Meadow Soprano, 41. Ray Lewis, 47. Emmett Smith from the Dallas Cowboys, 53. Dan Patrick, ESPN, 66. George Brett, 69. And Chaz Palminteri is 70. On today's date, in 1972, I was going to Northern Illinois University in DeKalb, IL, and Elton John came and played, but it was just him and the piano, nothing else. So I felt a little cheated on that. I was in Orlando, Florida in 1994 for the Flintstones junket, interviewing everybody from Rick Moranis and John Goodman to Halle Berry. And she was wearing the little Flintstones outfit, too. They had everybody in costume for this. It was actually sort of fun. The final Seinfeld episode aired on Tomorrow's Date in 1998. Jay Leno played the Fox Theater on Tomorrow's Date in 1988. Newt Gingrich appeared on the Weather Channel on Sunday's Date in 1998. We had Norm Macdonald in the studio on Sunday's Date in 1998. And on Sunday, that's the anniversary back in 2009 of it being officially proclaimed J.C. Corcoran Day in the city of St. Louis. That was my 25th anniversary in St. Louis. And the mayor came in and gave me the proclamation. I have that hanging on the wall right here now. I got to throw out the first pitch of the Cardinal game. And then it rained like hell. And the game was actually rained out. And they were so desperate to try to kill time while they were waiting to see if they could get the game played that they actually invited me to the broadcast booth. And I was on KMWX and the Cardinals radio network for everybody to hear, just telling good old baseball stories. John Rooney couldn't have been nicer to me on that evening. Yeah, but I threw out the first pitch and then the rain came. And I'm going to play something for you today that you probably have never heard before. I've only played this once before, but we have a little time left here at the end of the podcast, and I'm going to do it. Today is the anniversary of Stan Musial getting his 3,000th hit. The year was 1958. It was at Wrigley Field. Mo Drabowski was on the mound for the Chicago Cubs, and in comes Stan. Now, there had been a lot of speculation as to whether or not they would hold him back, even if they had a game situation where they needed some runs, hold him back, because they wanted to get hit number 3,000 in St. Louis. But again, as fate occurs sometimes, they had to try to win the game. And try to win the game, they figured, let's bring in Musial off the bench. Many of you have heard Harry Carey do the play-by-play call of hit number 3,000. But what you're going to hear right now is, I think this is 3 minutes long. This is the entire at-bat. And there are so many great old baseball names. For those of you who are over the age of 60 and hearing this, this is really going to be a treat for you. And you'll also hear why, you know, a lot of people didn't become familiar with Harry Carey until he was this bumbling old grandfather who didn't even know what the score was or which teams were playing sometimes. But, you know, in 1958, Harry Carey's at the absolute top of his game. And you'll hear all that, and you'll hear why he is in the Hall of Fame, legitimately in the Hall of Fame for being one of the great baseball announcers ever. Anyhow, we flash back to 1958. Here's the whole at bat at Wrigley Field.
Listen to the crowd, everybody up on their feet. Musial comes out as a pinch hitter. The Cardinals trailing 3-1. Listen to the crowd. Stan has been hitless against Grabowski this year, nothing out of two. So here we are. The 3,000th hit, perhaps, coming up here as a pinch hitter. The Cardinals trailing 3-1. The ball game in the sixth. Musial facing Mo Drabowski. Sign given. The right-hander gets set. There's the stretch. Here's the pitch on the way. Curveball low and outside. One ball to no strike. Stan had 4 out of 16 against Drabowski last year. Nothing out of two this year. One ball, no strikes. Now the signal given. Drabowski glances back. The stretch. Here it is. It's fouled back to the screen. And the count is even. One ball, one strike. Musial batting as a pinch hitter here. So the St. Louis fans may not get to see the 3,000 hit. Maybe it'll happen here in Chicago. One ball, one strike. Stan digs in. Mo Drabowski ready. The glance back. Here's the stretch. From the belt. Now the pitch. Swung and he fouled it out of play. Strike two. Two strikes and a ball. One gone, sixth inning. Drabowski looks around. A left-hander, Eddie Mayer, warming up in the bullpen. Two strikes and a ball. Musial digs in. There's the stretch, the hesitation. Now the pitch. Low and the count is evened up. Two balls and two strikes. Dick Schofield would be next. A home run here would tie it up for hit number 3,000. A base hit would score a run. The Cardinals trail 3-1. We're in the sixth. Mo Dramowski getting set. Ready now. Two balls, two strikes. The hesitation at the belt. Now the pitch. Swung on, a high foul ball out of play into the left field corner. Two balls, two strikes. They're all scampering for the souvenir out there. Boy, I'd like to see him give somebody in those bleachers a souvenir. On hit number 3,000. Two balls, two strikes. Stan waits. Now the stretch from the belt. Here's the pitch. Line drive, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial around first! On his way to second with a double! Holy cow, he came through! Listen to the crowd! Time is called! Standing ovation! Frank Dascoli goes over to second base and gives him the ball. He throws it into the Cardinal dugout. Terry Moore has it. Here the photographers out on the field. The first man since Paul Wiener in 1942.
Wasn't that just fun? Wow. On this date in 1958. And that's it. That does it for the J.C. Corcoran podcast for today, Friday, May 13th, 2022. 189 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We are here every weekday morning, right a little bit after 7 o'clock. Get up earlier and post it right at 7. I'll work on that. Anyhow. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. Everything is archived right here at jcontheline.com. You can email me, jc at jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We only do politics around here when it's absolutely unavoidable. And unfortunately, it's been pretty unavoidable lately. But that's another story. Have yourselves a great weekend. Go Blues! In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
J.C. Corcoran Podcast.